AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Eric here today. Stein coming in here a little bit later on. Two things I want to kind of redress from yesterday's show really quick here, because I got a ton of stuff I got to get into before we get to Stein. The first is Randy in Coon Rapids, who called yesterday. And reminder, back in 2016, when Randy called in and said, I would never be for a president ordering the troops against his own citizens, he was still in that paranoid, Obama's got jackbooted thugs and helicopters and they're going to come steal your guns mentality. And so he would never be for it. And yesterday, Randy was like, oh no, line them up. Let the military shoot all the libtards. God, great. Now, he didn't say it like that, but he was kind of 100% behind Trump doing it. I don't know. You have to understand how broken the Trump supporter is. They're so desperate to have their, whether it's pseudo-racist, bigoted, ignorant validation, that the narrative that it's not them, that they it's the reason the world sucks for them is not their own making. It's everybody else has done it to me. And Trump validates it. You were right. They were wrong. And they're so desperate to keep that. I have no idea what it would take. I have often made the joke that a Trump supporter could walk in on their spouse having sex with Donald Trump, and the first words out of their mouth would be, damn Democrats. But the reality is, I've come to the understanding, is that for some of these people, Trump could kick open the door, kill grandma in front of them, start having relations with the corpse, and they'd say, you know what? I'm still kind of sold on Trump, but maybe I'll start thinking about Biden. Maybe. I don't agree with everything, but, you know, he thinks outside the box, doesn't he? That is really where these people are. They are that broken, and I can't help you. And no, and it doesn't add any value to the show to have someone that belligerent on there. It doesn't, because, you know, the guy used to be somewhat, you know, you at least could have a conversation with him. But the longer that Trump's been in office, the more he has insulated himself in that cocoon that Trump always has to be right and everyone else has to be wrong. The Bible was not upside down. Yeah, it was. That picture of the White House with all the lights out, that was from 5 years ago. No, that was actually from the other night. Oh, those protesters were violent. No, they weren't. They were peaceful. Oh, they never used tear gas. Yeah, they did. I mean, it's just they're just so desperate to buy the narrative that you could say, oh, well, he just, you know, had, you know, rainbow ice cream come out of his caboose. And like, rainbow ice cream, I'd like some too. The other thing I want to bring up from yesterday is this thing with Gazelka. So I want to make sure, Eric, everyone understands. Yesterday, when I came in, my point with this story, this is the Bob Kroll letter, that there's three sentences in that letter where he talks about working with Paul Gazelka and that the Senate Republicans were going to overrule the governor and install his plan into place.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that Gazelka was frantically looking for any interview that he could so he could throw Kroll under the bus. And when we initially started talking about it, that's what I was talking about. I was going to use this to – even Gazelka's backing away from Kroll. But the more we talked about it, the more I kept coming back to, wait a minute here. Is there actually something to this? And I don't want to get into the whole thing. I listened to – two interviews, the NPR interview, I listened to some clips from the NPR interview, and then there was an interview he did with a conservative radio station in town, and I listened to that interview. And then I pieced together a timeline of his actions from Thursday, between him, the governor, and Kroll, from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of last week. And when you had, was it Mary Ellen that called in yesterday and said, well, you know, he was on, yeah, I think she was talking about he was on NPR bragging about calling the White House. He says, I talked to Governor Walz. No, he didn't. He had some text messages with Walz on Thursday. He had a press conference. He says he thinks that him having a press conference is having a conversation with Walz on Friday. That's not true. You had a press conference. You didn't talk to him. He never talked to Walz until Saturday morning. He was calling the White House, and it wasn't a, hey, I've talked to the governor, and he's having me call because I'm the highest level Republican in office in the state. No, it was a, help us! The governor's gone crazy! The city's going to die! I mean, it was this that kind of rational argument. And I'm sorry, when you put it together with his timeline and the fact that it's apparent that Kral's conversation he was referring to was the one they had on Friday morning, which he himself says they had. I'll tell you what, a pretty decent, I think a lawyer could probably get a conviction on it. Not because of me, because Gazelka wants to forget that he was telling everyone he could on Friday night, I've gone around the governor and I called the White House. And I could just imagine, dude, you know, we can't just send the troops out whenever anyone from a state calls. The governor's got to call us. Oh, so even though I'm not like the governor, I'm like Governor Junior. You can't send it out for me as a Senate majority. No, I can't. It's got to be the governor. Okay, bye. I'm sorry. I actually am becoming more and more convinced that whether, and I don't know if they were going to do this just for the riots during when all the problems were happening, or if this was going to be a kind of a try to some sort of permanent change of power. But I am come convinced that Bob Kroll and Paul Gazelka, there was something going on. It's something going on. And like I said, this is not just wild speculation. Bob Kroll mentions it in the letter. Gazelka himself is bragging about trying to get the White House involved. And that's really the only way they could have pulled it off. There's no way the Minnesota National Guard was going to yank walls out of office. So the only way that was going to work is if the White House basically came in there and overruled him. And here's Gazelka. Hey, I'll be the interim governor. I think not only do I think there needs to be a lot more questions to Paul Gazelka about his motivations for without talking to the governor. And don't give me this crap about text messages and a press conference, jackass. Why didn't you call the governor and talk to him like a big boy would? Jesus. Why didn't you call him before you called the White House? You need to explain this because you were bragging about how you were going around the governor. I think Paul Gazelka tried to overthrow the governor. I think that was the ultimate attempt. If you want, you can read the hypothetical scenario over on Progressive Citizen X, the blog there. A lot to, you know, digest. But you know what? Like I said, if you at least take it and put it into context with the timeline, it starts to make a lot more sense. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is increasing charges against now-fired Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin to second-degree murder in the death of George Floyd, and is also charging the three other officers involved, according to Senator Amy Klobuchar. Court record now shows Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder. Now, once again, we want to mention, I think it was City Pages had said that third-degree murder charges were never going to stick because they're not designed for the murder being directly caused by an individual. These are, second degree is. Now it's Chauvin Star with second degree murder without intent, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. Ellison is leading the prosecution in the case of Floyd's death. He has yet to announce the decision himself. Benjamin Crump, the attorney representing Floyd's family, called the decision a significant step forward by on the road to justice. Floyd died on May 25th after now fired officer Chauvin held him to the ground by putting his knee on Floyd's neck. The incident was sparked, of course, outcry across the nation. Following Floyd's death, Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo fired Chauvin and three other officers involved in the event, Tao, Lane, and Kung. I believe is how you say this last name, K-U-E-N-G. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman initially charged Chauvin with third-degree murder and manslaughter in conjunction with Floyd's death. According to charges filed by against Chauvin, Lane Kung helped Chauvin hold Floyd down while Thao stood by. Floyd told the officers, "I can't breathe," multiple times and repeatedly said, "Mama," and "please," but the officers did not move from their positions. At one point, Lane asked, "Should we roll him on his side?" And Chauvin said, "No." Floyd eventually appeared to stop breathing and speaking. Kung checks his pulse and found none, but none of the officers moved until the ambulance arrived a few minutes later. You're on a guy who has no pulse, and you're still holding him down. And by the way, there was something that was on, I think it was on CNN this morning. Ever since the Jamar Clark case, there are specific rules. The reason why these guys were fired, Arredondo, and by the way, I don't have any problem with Chief Arredondo. I really don't, because I don't think that he's the problem in the police department. I think it's Bob Kroll. Bob Kroll and the union, I think, are the problem. And I don't have any problem. The reason why Arredondo was able to fire them that quickly was because there are actually guidelines in the Minneapolis Police Handbook, basically, that say you can't do that. You have to try to save people's lives. You cannot jeopardize their life like this. And they clearly, none of them did. And it's actually, there's a part of that that says if you see a fellow officer doing something to a suspect that looks like they're jeopardizing their life, you have a responsibility to step in and stop it. And frankly, Chauvin was determined to kill Floyd. I mean, Chauvin wanted Floyd dead. I mean, is there any doubt?
I mean, with the new video footage we have now of them taking him out of the police car after he was already in it.
And beating him up in the back of the police car. Yeah, it just, they wanted him dead. Remember one officer said he doesn't have a pulse. Maybe we should turn him on his side. However, Officer Chauvin said, no, that shows intent. Crump said Wednesday. And equally important is the fact that those knees on the back were not for 1 minute or 2 minutes, not 4 minutes, 5 minutes, not 6 minutes, not 7 minutes, 8 minutes, but almost 9 minutes. George Floyd begged for air. That's. Crump spoke at an intersection of 38th and Chicago, Minneapolis, where he had accompanied Floyd's family members, including his son, as they saw for the first time the memorial that had been set up for Floyd. All the world is watching, Crump said, and he's right. All the world is watching. After the second night of relative calm for more than a week, protests of the police-involved death of George Floyd, Governor Wallace has extended the nightly curfews for Minneapolis and St. Paul. The curfews that they'll go Wednesday night from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., and Thursday nights from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., both Minneapolis and St. Paul. So once again, those curfews are still in effect for the next two nights. But on a positive note, Metro Transit restarted some of their service on Wednesday morning, so that's some good news. I will also say the City Pages, and I'm not going to have time to get into this because I also want to make sure I have some time to get into the COVID-19 stuff. The City Pages actually has a very good article. Do not tell me the Minneapolis police was not purposely targeting the media. The number of media members who were purposely, by the looks of it, purposely hit. Now, by the way, I don't think that list they have in City Pages includes Andy Mannix, who has a welt on the side of his leg like I've never seen. They went after the media. And once again, one of the things that in my complete hypothetical scenario, that if Gazelka and Kroll were able to take over the state, the mentality that Kroll is putting forward is he wanted to go crack some skulls. He wanted to go in there with ultimate force and basically in this. And so when you hear that letter, when you read that letter and you realize the kind of guy that Bob Kroll is, and when he's talking about, you can't tie our hands, we should be able to deal with this and give us ordinance and all this stuff. When you look at this, I mean, I have zero doubt that the media was specifically targeted. And I'm sorry, we better prepare ourselves for a lot of cases in Minneapolis because of Minneapolis cops basically not caring. What it is is this. They can't stop everyone from filming them with their phones. They can't stop that. So the mentality is that anyone who airs it that's not a social media page, gives it validity, they're the enemy too. It's not their actions. It's not Chauvin's knee on the back of Floyd's neck. It's the fact that people saw Chauvin's knee on the back of Floyd's neck. That's the real crime in their mind. Disgusting. Also, it should be, did you see the footage of the drive-by pepper spraying in downtown that one time with the peaceful protesters?
I did, yeah.
Oh my God. There's now a lawsuit of that. A woman was just walking down the street with her kid, and they pepper sprayed her.
As there should be.
If you haven't seen this, what was the line? It's, that was uncalled for.
It's the most egregious thing I've ever seen.
It's just the police are driving by, peaceful protest. No one's doing anything bad. No one is warranting police action. And some jackass cop in one of the vehicles decides to roll down the window and blow out pepper spray at people as he goes by. And so now the city's getting sued, and we're going to lose that. Here is what I want to say. I want the name of that cop. I want that officer's name. If you're going to cause taxpayers millions with your indiscriminate, anti-human, and just plain disgusting behavior, you're a disgrace to the badge. I want your name. I want to know everyone to know who exactly was the funny guy who thought pepper spraying people from a vehicle was somehow a good idea. Because you hit a mom and her kid who are just walking down the sidewalk, and now they're suing. And they're going to win. That is not debatable. It's not like it's a mystery car. It says Minneapolis Police right on the side of it. You're really stupid, aren't you, whatever officer did that? Officer Bonehead, you are really a moron, aren't you? Because not only did you really not do anything for the betterment of the community, you really hated a lot more people hating Minneapolis police, and you're going to cost us a few million dollars in tax dollars. I want your name. Run you out of this damn state. That's what we should be doing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Stein coming up, and we'll definitely get to the COVID-19, the Minnesota update when I do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I want to make sure I mention two things here before I get into the COVID-19 update. First of all, tomorrow night, we actually have special broadcasting coverage coming up. 7 to 9 tomorrow night, it is the Hopkins High School graduation here. No politics. Basically, we're handing the radio station over to Hopkins High School like we did with Edina High School over the weekend. and they're going to be able to broadcast a graduation. And the problem is that a lot of these schools have technology for the kids, but they have to turn the technology in before they can graduate. So there are people that don't have technology. They don't have internet access at home. This is a way for us. I mean, you can listen to AM 950 on the internet. You can just get a good old-fashioned AM radio and hear AM 950. Needless to say, that's why we're doing this. We're just handing the station over. Hopkins High School takes over tomorrow night, 7 to 9, their Hopkins High School graduation. Congratulations, graduates. If you'd like more information about that, you are more than welcome to get in touch with our station here at 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. By the way, also thank you very much to Todd Colet. Todd is sponsoring AM 950. We do appreciate that. You can sponsor us too. Just if you'd like more information on how you can become in, buy some ads with us, give us a call, 952-946-8885. Todd wants to remind us there's a GQ article that gives you some great ideas on how to donate to certain causes right now to help out in the wake of the George Floyd death. And I'll get that posted back up for you today and make sure you can see that. And thank you very much. Once again, 952-946-8885 for more information on either one of those things. In regards to helping out the station, and of course, if you want some help with the graduation, give us a call as well. Minnesota health officials confirmed another 372 cases of COVID-19, 14 more deaths. Since the first case was detected in the state in mid-March, total of 25,870 infections from the new coronavirus, along with 1,086 deaths. 84% of all fatalities have been among people 70 or older. But nearly 80% of all infections have sickened state residents under 60. So a lot of people, if you're under 60, if you get it, you're a decent chance you're going to get sick. But the people that are passing away from COVID-19 are generally 70 and older. Among the deaths announced, 10 were residents of long-term care facilities, bringing the total number of deaths in that population to 876. Wow. There have been 855 nursing home or assisted living facilities that have been at least one confirmed case, said Minnesota Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm. Currently, 439 facilities have at least one case, which at some places could be an infected staff member, too, so keep that in mind. Hospitalizations due to COVID-19 held steady at 537, unchanged from Tuesday, but six more people needed intensive care, bringing the total number of those hospitals to 254. The ICU beds issue is the real deal, and that's what we have to be careful of. We also have to be careful of going back, and I don't know if you're aware, if you've been out at all. Today, we went to the kids, there's a phenomenal trail for hiking if you want to get out. It's the lower part of the 9 Mile Creek. It's down in Bloomington. There's a parking lot off 106th Street, and it's got some stairs down to it, and which means on the end of the hike you have some stairs back up. But while you're on the trail, it's relatively flat, and I'll tell you what, that is one of the prettiest places in the entire metro I've ever seen. That is just gorgeous. It's kind of hard to comprehend as you're there that you're in the metro area. It is beautiful. If you have a chance, go down and see this. But as I was driving around, I noticed, man, there are a lot of people that are around. I mean, a lot of people are out. I think with beauty shops and barber shops opening up under certain rules and outdoor dining starting, you're seeing more people head on out. What are the consequences of that going to be? Well, at least 5 Minneapolis restaurants are temporarily closed after employees tested positive for COVID-19. Revival's Minneapolis location, Pizzeria Lola, and the 3 Broder's restaurants, Pasta Bar, Cucina Italiana, and Terzo, are on hiatus from takeout and delivery while employees quarantine and managers to make plans to prevent future coronavirus infections. There's no requirement that restaurants share such information with the public, and these are among the first in the Twin Cities to suspend operations due to infections. I would rather actually can we make that actually a rule to say? Because if you don't make that, we already know there's going to be some business saying, I don't care if you're a little sick. I need you here, pouring beers. Well, pouring beers into a styrofoam cup, because nothing says refreshing drinking than sipping a beer out of a cup with a straw. Anyway. Anyway, I think that you should make that actually public knowledge. It's interesting because, we are still doing as much social distance as we can. we're noticing the kids are getting out more. And when they do go on out, we don't have any control of how close they get to their friends. We just tell them to social distance. My daughter had a birthday last weekend, and we invited friends over, and the kids, for the most part, stayed away from each other in the front yard. And they were just ecstatic to see each other. And you could tell they wanted to give each other hugs, but they did really well. They stayed away from each other, and they didn't really get themselves into trouble. And the parents were also very good. They, you know, we all kind of were off in one area, standing a little far away from each other, and that's how you do it. But when they're going out and they're hanging out with friends and they're down in a park, you don't know how that's going to go. And so, you know, we're still concerned. And frankly, you know, I know that there are some restaurants that have outdoor dining and stuff like that. Last night, someone brought up the point, well, it started pouring rain last night. And boy, did it pour. Holy God, did it come down for a while. Well, what happened at a lot of those places that had outdoor seating? People kind of got up and went inside. And they're not supposed to, are they? And so, I don't know. I'm really concerned. I mean, obviously, people have talked about the demonstrators and the people that are out, protesting, peacefully protesting what happened with George Floyd and what's going to happen with those large groups when the numbers start coming in. The reality is I think that without a doubt, there is Republicans nationwide are undercutting the counts. As a matter of fact, I was reading a story today that there are multiple states where if the person dies of pneumonia, they're not supposed to, if pneumonia was caused by coronavirus, they are not supposed to label coronavirus. They're just supposed to label pneumonia. And someone noticed this when all of a sudden pneumonia cases started spiking in certain states. Well, it's not that they're dying of pneumonia, they're dying of coronavirus, but they're just, because people want businesses back, they're just saying, oh, it's no big deal. Well, this is going to come back, and this is going to come back hard. So we'll have to see. But I think there's a public interest in knowing whether or not we get a case where a restaurant starts having servers that are getting sick. I think the public should be made aware of that. I do think that that's a good thing. Jeff Stein, when we do return, a freshly shorn Jeff Stein. We'll find out how the Iowa Barber Shop is going. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM 950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM 950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
Howdy, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther, and not just because of my love of the Toyota Sienna. I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example of that is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others very loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Paul Metz inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We have Professor Monty Butte. Monty teaches at Metropolitan State University, but his roots were in the anti-war movement at the University of Minnesota in the 1970s. He spent time in Berkeley and Haight-Ashbury and has been working for social change for the last 50 years. He's going to tell you about his history, his background, and his views on what's going on today in Minneapolis and around the country. Saturday, 6 p.m. on AM 950. The Wall of Power.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, expect sunny skies with a high near 86. Tonight, clear skies continue with a low around 63. Tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms in the late afternoon, a high of 87 and a low of 64. Friday, sunny with a high of 84 and a low of 59. Let Minnehaha Falls Landscapes create an outdoor space that is truly yours. Offering landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, and more. Check them out at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Oh, it's a Wednesday. That means Pilots Progressive Party comes up here at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So on Wednesdays, remember, it's Brett, then me, got Democracy Now!, then Robert Pilot. Emma Lee is going to be joining them, activist and independent journalist, photographer covering the Twin Cities. So listen for that. 5 o'clock, it is Pilots Progressive Party right here on AM 950. Thank you as well to the people who are members of AM 950. You can get a membership. How about that? That's really cool. Many people have gotten memberships, including Betty in Minnetonka, Tim and Sharon in Brooklyn Park, Phil in Apple Valley, Matthew in Minneapolis, Robert in Eden Prairie, Cindy in Andover, Chad in Minneapolis, Kathy in Plymouth, Mark in Edina, Jerome in Minneapolis, and Matthew in Invergrove Heights. You can become a member, too. Go to am950radio.com, become a member. You can make a one-time donation, make a regular monthly contribution. We appreciate both. And reminder, you get that special member content. We put some brand-new interviews up yesterday that are for members only. Make sure you can go click on those. To get the access to those interviews, though, you have to become a member. am950radio.com, that's am950radio.com. We got Jeff. We got Jeff. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul. Also, he's got the Iowa Business Report, totallyiowa.com, and he joins us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. But you're not there today. You just got your haircut done, correct?
Actually, because the barber has done this before, he was efficient, and so I'm actually back in the comfy studio.
How are you? Yeah, there you go. There you go. Does it feel nice? Do you feel a little cooler now?
Well, here's the thing. He's not a miracle worker. He's just a licensed barber. All right. I mean, God bless him. He has literally worked at this for, I think, 52 years. Okay. I mean, this is throwback barbershop. Okay. And again, there's only so much the man can do, but I don't think I will scare small children in the same way later today as opposed to this morning. So that's all good.
Well, let me grab that 12-gauge sandpaper. only so much you can do with a block of wood. I know. Hey, this is me too. I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%.
I have seen the screen captures of you doing this program on Facebook Live. So
it's just, I have no, why you would put a camera in this studio, I have no idea. Anyway, thanks for watching.
I was looking for a screen capture of you to use because you were kind enough to come on my program and talk about the serious topics yesterday. So I needed a photo.
Oh, God.
And I saw what was available and I said, where's his graduation? Where's his high school graduation photo? I'll use that. That's much better.
Seems like I'm like in some drug Nabisco testing laboratory. You know, it doesn't look good.
You're like rats. Hey, there are Cheez-Its. What do you know? This is great.
I haven't seen the sun for years. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about what could possibly be one of the, I mean, the mission accomplished banner was dumb. You know, someone should have said, okay, are we really done here? Do we really want to do this? Because we don't want that coming back to haunt us for the rest of this term.
Right.
And it did, and basically he is known for that. I mean, that was the moment. I mean, when you think about George W. Bush, you know, the whole concept, the arrogance, the stupidity of saying mission accomplished when you were 3 weeks into a battle which ended up costing us thousands of lives and trillions of dollars, and we never really had a successful win anyway.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the two things that set Trump, or three things that set Trump off that caused him to want to do this were, one, the reports that he was cowering in the bunker on Friday night. Two, that Obama has come on out lately, and he is starting – not only is he starting to make pointed comments, that he's really starting to get into campaign mode, which you can see the flop sweat on Trump on that. But if there was one moment which I said, oh, he's trying to copy Biden, it was that Biden on Sunday. Do you remember he went out in Delaware to the George Floyd protests out there? And, I mean, he was treated as kind of a hero out there. And here he is, not afraid, out there mixing with the public. And Trump just desperately wanted that. that it correct me if I'm wrong. Those are what really triggered him. He said, I got to go do this hike down to this church.
Well, let's take them in turn. And I generally agree with you. I mean, you have to understand it doesn't matter if it's a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whoever, Whig, whoever the president is, when they had Secret Service, when they say, Mr. President, because so far it's only been Mr. President, we have to go. There's no discussion. And so the fact that he was ushered into the bunker on Friday night doesn't throw me, but obviously it's not the image he wanted, especially since, and this is probably why he tweeted Friday night about how proud he was to look out the window and see these young bucks, Secret Service people. It's probably because he was compensating for the fact that he had to go down to the bunker.
Yes.
Okay, so yes, that's number one. With regard to
Obama.
Obama, he knows Trump. He knows that he can verbally spar with Biden. And for whatever reason, Vice President Biden is not as uniformly quick on the draw lately. And it may just be because of all these satellite hookups and he's sitting in the basement office or whatever. But he just is not clicking the way he does in person or the way he used to do. So if you're Trump, you're saying, I can handle this guy. Obama's a different character and individual. I don't mean that in a bad way. He's just a different, he has a different character makeup. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing for Obama to say, all right, Hillary didn't win, but that's not an indictment on me. She just ran a bad campaign. See, he could say that. But what happens if Biden, who was his vice president and who is campaigning on the Barack and I platform, what if Biden doesn't win? That then starts to become more of a blot on the Obama record or the legacy, more important, more correctly. So he doesn't want that. So, yes, he's going to be very involved. He's got to help Joe cross the finish line. As far as number three.
Really quick, if I can, really quick, before I take the call here. Yes, Hillary won by 3 million votes and the general election, and also the Russians helped out Trump a lot. So just before, I'm just doing a preemptive. But you mentioned Biden. Let's get to Biden here, because you're right. I think Biden is out of his element when he's stuck there with in home. And he's, you know, he is a good campaigner when he gets out there. And I think being stuck on video link is a problem. But that's what you saw. All of a sudden, he's out with this crowd. Hey, it's Joe Biden again. That's Joe. I remember Joe. And he, right. You know, and yes, he does have his gaffes, but people like Joe Biden. And the fact that he was out there showing support for the protesters, that, you know, you're right. That if Biden does more of that, Trump's in real big trouble. And so I think that, you know, is that a fair way to say it?
I'm pretty well with you on it. I mean, and let's talk about some of these technological things. That's how we closed last week, was the fact that Joe's got to figure out technology. Well, all right, you and I are connected right now via Skype.
Yes.
But we have no camera. All right. And so I don't know if you're wanting to interject or not, because I can't see you.
Yes.
Well, you and I recorded for my program yesterday. Again, I'm appreciative you took the time. We did Skype with camera because we could, and it was much different in terms of conversation. I can see you wanting to say something. You can see me wanting to interject. Okay, so half the time when Joe's set up like that, he's got a little earpiece in. He probably can't see the person on the other end, the anchor. And if he can, it's a small image. It's very tricky to make this work. I'm not making excuses for him. You know, he's a big boy. This is not his first rodeo. But I you know, all of the talk of, oh my gosh, there must be something medically wrong. No, you try doing it on a regular basis.
Oh, you've done national things. I did Fox News. It is next to impossible to have that ear and then look into a camera and smile when you don't see anything. It's very difficult.
Right. And you know, for everyone who might be using Zoom these days, well, usually there's video. Well, again, what if you didn't have that? And sometimes I do Zoom or Skype without video. It's a very different thing. And mm-hmm. So I want to give him some benefit of the doubt. Here's where Trump lost it the other day, or lost the momentum. The concept of that is an amazing historic church. Right. And we've heard it how many times? Every president since Andrew Jackson has worshipped here, and Lincoln went there the night before, blah, blah, blah. OK, got it. It's historic. It is a wonderful structure. When you go across the street like that, that is potentially a powerful symbol. Here's where it went off the rails. A, did not tell the people there he was coming.
Right? Well, that's a little minor thing. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do. I mean, he wants to shore up that evangelical vote. He wants to shore up the Christian vote. But
here's how he would have done it. Okay, I don't come to your house and stand in the front yard and have my picture taken without telling you I'm doing it. I understand it's a public sidewalk. I get that. But here's where he could have scored. If he'd have said, all right, we don't want this to get out because of security reasons, but I want to come across. And not only do I want to come across, I want to come in. Mm-hmm. And I want to be in the front row, and I want you to say a prayer. And then I'll come back. But instead, what did he do? He did a photo op. And it's one thing to stand there with the Bible, but we don't know where the Bible came from.
It was upside down, too, by the way. He did hold it upside down.
I know. But look, he stands there and then poses with it. Okay, so the fact that he stopped there and held the Bible and stared at the cameras is where it really went off the rails. Mm-hmm. And as if that's not bad enough, he then called everybody else for a family picture, right? Here's here's the Attorney General, and here's the Secretary of Defense and the Press Secretary, and, you know, whoever made it across. Let's take a picture. Mm-hmm. This is not the Grand Canyon, and you are not at the observation point.
Well, and if I may, I think you're right about that. And there's more about the religious aspect of it. And there's definitely more about the attempt to make this into, I guess, storming Omaha Beach for Trump. The reality was there's a huge problem that they had. They had a very large group of 100% peaceful protesters. And then it looks like they send in the stormtroopers. And it wasn't just the fact that they were aggressive and the rubber bullets, which are bad enough, and the tear gas, which is bad enough. And you can hear it going off in as he's in the Rose Garden making this speech about, you know, sending the military onto American citizens. You can hear the canisters going off behind him as they're clearing this. It's the fact, I mean, you saw the Australian television footage where they're on camera, and the cop punches the camera live on Australian television. The visual of this peaceful protest being run over by this authoritarian police state. That was someone, and no one did. Barr and you know the Secretary of Defense. No one, for some reason, thought for a second about how that would look. And that is the real, you know, and the real crime is they went after peaceful protesters. But in the regards to what you're trying to do as far as look presidential, you got to look at the whole situation. And at that no point, it was only about getting Trump in front of that church, not about the visuals that were going to have to take place for him to be able to do so. And that is just bizarre.
A couple things about it. I think, again, he could have saved it if he went inside and used the church for its intended purpose and not as a tourist photo opportunity. Yeah. Okay? I mean, and because again, look at the implications. You've got everybody associated with the church saying, he did what? We had no idea about this. I was monitoring before he spoke because it was going to be on the radio here, and so, you know, I was paying attention to it. And I see Twitter feeds from reporters saying that you can hear these cannons go off, right, to clear the area. So then I'm literally driving home. I hear the president speaking on the radio, and then I hear more of them. And I think that's not a good image. What was worse was him the next day denying that it happened.
Yes.
Well, you know, okay, I heard it, Baghdad Bob. It's happening right there in front of you. Now imagine the difference. And this is a personality thing. If, in fact, those were all peaceful protesters, why couldn't they have cleared a path? I mean, I think it would be unsafe. Let's just go with this. What if they cleared a path and he made his way through and almost like worked the rope line to some degree, right? Like actually, interact with these people and then go to a church, pray, and come back.
Like Biden did, interact with them.
Well, let's think back, and this is not your favorite president, but would Bush 43 have done what Trump did? Would Bill Clinton or Barack Obama? I'm just going to go back the last 20 years. I would dare say if any of those said, I want to go to the church to show that you don't burn churches down in America, if that's the image. There would have been a way to interact along the route. Not with this. This became, and it could well have been the, you know what, I think I want to walk across the street, make it happen. And then the sycophants who work there are like, oh my God, we got to make this happen. And then they just go nuts with it. It's ridiculous. Now, there's some dispute about whether it was tear gas or pepper spray. I don't want to be so flip as to say tomato, tomato, because there is a distinction. But the point is, stuff was used besides polite conversation to get people to move. And again, it's the optics. The optics of holding a Bible up in front of a church saying, you know, hey, look where I went on my spring vacation, was not worth the backlash of it.
And we do have actual video footage of them using tear gas, that not pepper spray, that there was one, at least a few canisters of that applied out there. The one thing is this, okay, this is...
Go too far down that road because I've seen it both ways. I haven't had time to really independently research it, but there are a lot of people you've heard, Matt, on the right who say, oh, it wasn't tear gas, it was pepper spray. Well, okay, again...
I'll go with the footage of the camera that's live right there. There's a difference. Pepper spray has a red spray to it. As a matter of fact, we were talking about Minneapolis, the cop that did the drive-by pepper spraying. It's a red mist that comes out here. It's not the canister. It's not a smoke bomb. It's a canister. And trust me, as a guy that was in the military that had to go through tear gas training, I know what tear gas is.
Idea that they're trying to be moralistic by saying it's only pepper spray. A difference without distinction for the point they're trying to make.
One of the things I will say is, and this is once again just the complete lack of any adults in the room, there had to have been a point where someone said, do not release these photos, do not put this out there, do not brag about this, and they just couldn't help themselves. Even today, the press secretary is out, she's insisting, this was the greatest moment ever in the history of the presidency. And you're like, you guys are just so determined to turn this into a victory, and you don't even realize the game is over 2 days ago and you lost by 50. And this is just someone should have pulled those photos.
Well, but when it happened live, I mean, yes, they could have stopped, right? They could have stopped going forward. But the idea is, you know, it was already designed to be a dinner hour photo op. They got, you know, the footage is out there. So have you known this president or this administration to back down or double down? I mean, so it was right according to normal procedure, right? They're getting blowback. Well, yeah, we're going to show you more pictures of it. And okay, because they're controlling those pictures and their diehard supporters are going to focus on their pictures not the view.
Yeah, on Fox News, it was a very different story than every other network. Let's just put it that way. 952-946-6205. Let's talk about when we come back, sending the troops after the civilians of the United States. Jeff Stein joining us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us here. Jeff, many times in history, the president has had to call up troops to tap down rebellions. The Whiskey Rebellion, for goodness sakes, under Washington, where, you know, whiskey producers out in western Pennsylvania, what was it, like, you know, 500, 600 of them, rose up against the government and were armed, and there were actually battles that they had on this. I mean, you know, they're bad at it because I think they were drinking their whiskey the entire time. They never killed one federal soldier. They lost 170 captured. And but you know, occasionally, like times like this has happened. The idea, Kent State, stuff like that. When we ever have brought up the military in a against peaceful protesters, it is almost always not. I mean, it's Tiananmen Square, for God's sakes. And this is a really bad precedent. And I'm a little concerned about where this is going.
Here's something from AP that literally just crossed moments ago. Defense Secretary Mark Esper today overturned an earlier Pentagon decision to send a couple hundred active duty soldiers home from the Washington, D.C. region. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told the AP the reversal came after Esper attended a meeting at the White House today. Your thoughts?
Trump is basically, he realizes they're seeing the fact that he's not wearing any clothes. And so he's desperate to basically, he's a guy that he's desperate to maintain the image that he's the one in charge. And this is, I mean, I'm going to say it. Historically, this is how it happens. You get guys in there who are fragile eagles and narcissists and self-centered, arrogant jackasses, and they basically get in positions of power, and when all of a sudden the mirror stops reflecting the golden image they like, they'll do anything in their power to maintain the false persona that they are, and that is Trump personified right there.
Well, and it's a matter of you've got the defense secretary earlier in the day basically saying, you're not going to put me under the bus on this, where he, in fact, called it a photo op, right? Mm-hmm. The stuff at the church. And so the Pentagon makes its decision, and it gets overridden. There is no evidence, according to AP, that the Secretary of Defense actually met with the president. But he went to the White House, and then the plans were changed. So is that what he had to do to make up for what, according to folks at the White House, was a performance, a news conference that did not please the president? Well, what are the ramifications of all of that as we go toward yet another night where we're all on the edge of our seats because it's just hideous what we're seeing?
Do you think if we get to a point, and we've got about a minute left, do you think we get to a point where we have a moment where all of a sudden the military is rounding people up, shooting people and stuff like that? Do you think we'll finally wake up the Republicans, or do you think they're just so right now, so terrified of going against Trump that they'll like, yeah, kill them all?
I really think it's going to stop before we get to that ultimate point. But the thing that's working against it is what we're seeing in some of our bigger cities. And there's got to be a way to strike the balance for these cities to take care of things themselves with help from within the state, to not have the great protector have to come in. There's got to be a way to do it.
And I will say this on a positive note, last night, nationwide, very few really bad incidents. That's the first night. Hopefully that holds true.
Thank God. Let's hope.
Let's hope. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books, Next Chapter Books. We'll spotlight this interview today. We'll talk to you next week, Jeff.
Have a good one, Matthew.
Take care. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see you.